Biblical fasting's purpose and power. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Biblical fasting's purpose and power. Most of you know, it's not a secret to a lot of you. I've been purposing to get myself back in shape and in order, come to some truths, my metabolism. Some say it's slowed down. I think it's stopped. Been studying diets, looking at plans, and keto has seemed to be the thing that's going on around all over the place. And in keto, there is a time for intermittent fasting, where you fast for certain periods. Fasting has become more popular now, but I need you to understand, fasting is not new. Fasting isn't new. It's been a part of cultures all over the world for centuries. When it comes to biblical fasting is not just for dietary means. Keto, the intermittent fasting, that's to get you to a certain place physically. But biblical fasting is designed to get us to a certain place spiritually. Amen. Simply stated, the biblical fasting, it is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. It's refraining, it's denying your physical body what it would normally have in order to get to a spiritual purpose. More than a diet, it's a dedication and a delineation of a specific spiritual path we've decided and desired to flow. Y'all like them SAT words? It's a dedication and delineation. Delineation is just all it says. It's a long word of saying a boundary. It helps to put boundaries around our desired and our decided path we're going to follow. Biblical fasting says, I've made a decision, and here is how I purpose to walk that thing out. Biblical fasting. And let me, when I say this, biblical fasting means nothing. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it means nothing if you're not praying. As a matter of fact, it should be synonymous. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is something that God desires and he expects of every believer. Look at somebody and say, God expects you to fast and pray. Oh, Chris, it was slow when they said it. Amen. It was more mumbled than it was, God expects you to fast and pray. But if you looked at the word that we just read, Jesus says, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast, if you get around to fasting, if fasting is something that you can fit into your schedule. He says, when you fast, which means he's expecting his disciples. That's you and I. He's expecting us to get to a place of discipline where we deny ourselves for a spiritual purpose. Amen. Look at somebody say, when you fast. Ah, yes, yes, yes. There are three duties of every Christian: giving, praying, and fasting. Every disciple, he's outlined it for you. He says, when you fast, when you do it. He's already laid out. He said, in case you don't know what to do, here's what to do. When you fast. Biblical fasting takes a lot of discipline and strength. It's the kind of strength that we can't get from any other place but from God. Our private discipline will bring us heavenly rewards according to Matthew 6. There's a reward that comes when we practice the discipline of prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. It puts you in a better spiritual place and a better spiritual condition when you actively engage in the discipline of prayer and fasting. When we give God our first through fasting, prayer, and giving at the beginning of the year, we set the course for the entire year. This is why we do it at the beginning of the year, because what you do at the beginning, it causes a ripple effect for everything that comes behind it. And when we purpose to move into the new year, and we set an agenda, I'm going to discipline myself for the purpose of being not being fit, more fit or more trim, but for the purpose of being more spiritually astute. So that my ears are not clogged with the byproducts of this world, so that I can hear God clearer than I've ever heard him before. Because where I'm going, I need a clear transmission of his word and his spirit. And fasting and prayer helps me get to that expected end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So why should I fast? Why should I fast? Okay, I'm glad you asked me that question. If you need to be healed, or you have desire for a miracle, you should fast. Amen. If you need the tender touch of God's anointing in your life, you should fast. You should fast and pray. If there's a dream inside of you that can only be made possible by God's presence in your life, you should pray and fast. If you desire a deeper, more intimate, and powerful relationship with the Lord, you should pray and fast. If you want God's desires to be your desires, you should pray and fast. If you have family and friends that aren't saved yet, and you want them saved, you should pray and fast. If you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to know the next step to take in your journey, you should pray, you should fast. I hear somebody say, well, Pastor, that sounds a lot like manipulation. But no, it's not manipulation. It's more than that. It is more of a minimalization and influence management. Oh, that's good. That's good. It's not manipulation. You're minimizing and making minimal the other voices in your head. And you're giving influence, you're influencing your the way what is being managed in your life. Hallelujah. See, we can't twist God's arm and make him do what we want, but we can, in obedience, set or reset our courses so that God's name is glorified, his word is honored, and his spirit is given control in all that we say and do. We can control the level of volume we hear God's voice. Oh, that's good. That's good. We can control how loud God's voice is in our ear through prayer and fasting. Conversely, we can control how small or how loud the voice of any other voice in our ear is through prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. So let's look at the types of fast. There are several types of fasting. The one you choose is between you and God. Here, corporately, we choose the Daniel fast. I'm getting ahead of myself, but there are different types of fasting. Here, I'm going to say this, and you'll hear this over and over again. Fasting means nothing if it doesn't cost you something. The whole idea of discipline is that you're forced to do something you wouldn't normally do. The whole idea of discipline is that I'm bringing myself up under the command or control of something outside of me. And so if it doesn't, David said it like this, when they wanted to give him, somebody wanted to give him a field so he could build a memorial to God. He said, no, I want to pay for it, because if it doesn't, I don't want it if it doesn't cost me something. You ever had somebody give you something, or you gave somebody something and they tore it up? Mm-hmm. I knew friends. I knew I had classmates. They were given cars, and in 30 days they had tore the car all up. But when you have to work for something, there's a level of responsibility. And there's a level of accountability and honor with the thing. You had to work for. I had to get my first car. I paid $150 for it at the pawn shop. I bought a car at the front of the pawn shop. You cranked the engine up and water would shoot out of it. The idea was they thought it was a cracked gasket or a block. And those who are mechanics understand what I'm talking about. That the engine block, they believed it was cracked. And if the engine block is cracked, then you might as well get another engine. But my daddy, being a shade tree mechanic, saw what it was. And he said, sold. I'm like, the car don't work. But my dad understood that it could be more, it could be something less than a cracked motor. He went and bought $1.50 head gasket, replaced the head gasket, and we drove out of that pawn shop with $150 fire engine red Trans Am. I'm a Smokey and the Bandit. Now, it was from Michigan, so it had holes in it, in the floor. So we called it the Barney Rubble car. So I was driving, and you could see the road, literally. But I worked on that car for 3 months. I screwed metal rivets into that floorboard to cover up, to keep rocks from coming through when I was driving. I bought house carpet. And I laid my house carpet down. I bought Camaro seats and put in my Firebird. It had been hit on the side, and I got a Camaro door, and the doors were heavier on the Camaro than the Firebird. And so I looked like a gentleman when I would come and open the door. I met her when that's when we started dating. I took her on the first date in that Firebird. And I went around, and she thought I was a gentleman, but it wasn't because I was a gentleman per se. It's because the door was so heavy, and I didn't want the pins to bend again. So I lifted up on the door and opened it. Oh, you're such a gentleman. He's so nice. He's so nice and things. No, I didn't want another pin because it was hard to find pins for that door. So I lifted. I did all of that because I understood it cost me something. And so I was more disciplined with my car. I didn't let people with dirty feet come in my car. Take your shoes off and put them in the trunk. Because I had sacrificed for this car. I painted the car outside in the fall when leaves was falling. And if you look on my side, in the back, right behind the back window, you saw a leaf imprint that I couldn't cover up. But I did all of that. And because I had sacrificed, it meant something to me. Fasting and prayer means nothing to you if it's not a sacrifice. The Daniel fast, get ahead of myself. The Daniel fast, it says, the Bible says that Daniel ate no pleasant bread. He ate no meat. He drank water, and the Bible, he ate pulse, which is vegetables. It's a vegetable, biblically, it's a vegetable and a water diet. It's a vegetable and a water diet, but if you're a vegetarian, that ain't nothing. If you're a vegetarian, it's not going to cost you something, but if you're that same vegetarian who has to have Starbucks. I got quiet up in here. If you're a vegetarian that has to have your sweets and to give that up during the time of prayer, that costs you something. If it doesn't cost you anything, then the practice is mute. You're denying yourself, when it comes to biblical fasting, you're denying yourself something that you would normally get in exchange for a stronger spiritual connection. What fasting is. There's nothing spooky about it. Nothing eerie about it. You're just saying, God, I want you more. I want you more than Starbucks. I want you more than these sweets. I want you more than this. I want you more. And it's a time of consecration. Consecration means you're setting yourself aside for God's special use, which means I'm not giving myself to even the things, not only the things I eat, but the things I'll take in to my ear gate, the music I listen to, the things I see, the television shows I watch, the movies I watch. These things, I'm sanctifying my doorways for nothing but God. So it begins to affect. I don't watch all my shows. And I take that time that I would use watching Law and Order and watching Bones and watching whatever. Now I take that time and I devote it to the Word of God. I watch things that promote God's will and advance his kingdom, because now I want to flood myself and fill myself with more of God. And as I do that, I flush everything else out. Am I making sense to you this morning? Nothing spooky about fasting and prayer. You don't have to be super spiritual. You just gotta want God more. You don't have to walk around see. No. You don't have to do all of that. None of that is required when it comes to biblical fasting and prayer. You just simply have to, I want God, I want you more. I need you more. For this next step I'm about to take, I need more of you than I have right now. And this is how I purpose to do it. I turn my plate over. I turn the TV off. I spend more time in your face. I pray. I get with people that pray. I read his word and I pray. I'll tell you, you do that for 21 days. You begin to, you purge that those things that are not like God out of you. Listen, it only takes 21 days to create a habit. It's proven. It's scientifically proven, positively or negatively. It only takes 21 days. It only takes 21 days to create a habit. Look it up. Try it. It only takes 21 days for your mindset to change and for that thing that you've been doing for 21 days to become a part of your normal routine. That's why we encourage you, don't stay out from church too long. Because then you get used to just being away. What it does, it's discipline. That's what it is. Nothing spooky about it. You're just saying, God, I want you more. I want you more. The types of fast. You have a full fast, which is drinks. You drink only liquids. It's just water. That's what Jesus did for 40 days. He just drank water.
Pastor, why you got to start with that one?
Jesus wasn't playing. Jesus, you can go for, well, he proved you can go 40 days without eating. You really can't go without water. I say this to balance it out. Check with your doctors about your condition where you are. If you need medications and you need food to eat medications, honor what's happening right now as you believe God. As you believe God for spiritual breakthrough. You may not, if you have to eat to take the medicines that you're taking, you can fast other things. You can sacrifice other things. God, while I turn my stories off. I'm not gonna watch The Young and the Restless. I'm not gonna The Bold and the Beautiful. I'm not gonna watch General Hospital. Are they still on? I'm not going to watch One Life to Live, All My Children, Edge of Night. I just dated myself then. I'm not going to watch Empire. I'm not going to binge watch Netflix. I'm not going to watch CNN. I'm turning this plate down. So I can get closer to you. And while I take this medicine, God, because I sacrifice here, I'm believing you to work a miracle in my life. I'm believing you to turn some things around in my life. And I'm believing you to this degree. I'll lay this aside. I'll turn this down. I'll step away from this to get closer to you. That's discipline. It's discipline. Jesus, he drank only liquids at full fast. The Daniel fast, you eat no meat, no sweets, no bread. You drink water, or we've extended it. But the Daniel fast, vegetables and water. We've tweaked it. If it's a sacrifice to you, nobody else can judge that but God. If it's a sacrifice to you. I've been in places where it was dogmatic. Everybody got to do this. Chuck Owens was here. He was a vegetarian. Daniel fast wasn't nothing for Chuck. I mean, this brother eating vegetable steakums. He introduced me to steakums. There's no meat in steakums. Tofu. It wasn't a problem for him. What is a sacrifice to you? What is a sacrifice? Something that's going to require you discipline. Amen. 3-day fast. You can fast for 3 days. This fast can be a full fast, a Daniel fast. You can give up at least one item of food. Then you have a partial fast. For those who've never fasted, I suggest you try the partial fast. Where you fast from sunup to sundown. You fast from sunup to sundown. Full fast. Just liquids from sunup to sundown. That's a good place to start. But whatever is a sacrifice to you. Because my desire has to be, God, I want you more. I want you more. And there's got to be some corresponding action to that. I'm done. I didn't get nowhere near where I want to go here. But I want to say this. I want to leave you with this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come here, please. Trisha, can I use you? Sir? Aaron. Mike. Brian. Y'all know I'm a visual person. Okay. Chris. Pray, Chris. Okay, now I need all of y'all, except Chris, and you just need all of y'all to think of a song. Think of a song. I want y'all to come over here. Around. Think of a song. You don't have to be spiritual. Just don't cuss. Do the radio edit. No, I'm not. Here it is. Here's what fasting. Here's where we are before we fast. You're here. These represent the voices around you. Sing your songs loud. Come on.
If it isn't love, why does it hurt so bad?
Y'all hear that chaos? You hear that chaos? Everywhere I turn, I got voices coming. Keep singing. Come on, keep singing. Come on. Tell me something, Chris. I know Chris is saying something to me, but I can't hear him because I got all these other voices. Everywhere I turn. What are you saying? What? I still can't hear him. But I want to get close. Come on, keep going, keep going. Say an extended version. Different songs, y'all. It's different songs. Okay. There it is. I can't hear him. I know he's saying something, but I can't hear him. And some of y'all know God is saying something to you. But because all of these voices around you, you can't hear what God is saying. Here's what fasting does. When I purpose to want what God wants, when I purpose to get closer, to want to get closer to God, and I begin to deny my flesh, all of a sudden this voice mutes, and 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 this voice mutes. Because I said, God, I want you more. And so now, with all these voices muted, I can hear what he's saying. What are you saying, God? And I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Now, come follow me. These voices and these influences may still be in my life. Oh! But you know what? His voice is louder. Come on, follow me, follow me. Walk around me, walk around. All these voices swirling around me. Everywhere I'm going. But because I begin to fast and pray, I hear him louder. And I'm drawing closer to him than anything else. This is what prayer and fasting does. It mutes every other voice that's not like God's. Now, ha, God, thank you. Listen to this. These voices, all these voices aren't bad. She was singing happy birthday. Ain't nothing bad about that. Thank you. I don't know what he was saying. Or some Tennessee whiskey. I don't know. He was singing New Edition, If It Isn't Love. Why does it hurt so bad? Why does she stay on my mind? That's good. I'm thinking about my wife. All these voices aren't bad. But when it comes to getting closer to God, I got to shut all these voices down. I love my wife. God knows I love my wife. But it's when I'm trying to get closer to him, babe, I got to put you on mute for a minute. Because I need to get closer to him. Because the fact of the matter is, the closer I get to him, the better I am to you. I got another birthday. It's another life transition. Something's changing in my life. I can't ignore what I'm going through. I can't ignore the things that are happening in my life. It is what it is. But if I want to be able to handle it better, to be excellent as I transition from 45 to 46, I got to hear his voice better, which means I got to draw clear to him. And so it means I got to mute all the stuff that 46 brings. You're going to have stuff in your life that's going to want to fight for first place. Fasting and prayer puts God in his rightful place. Nothing spooky about it. Nothing weird about it. You're just saying, God, I want you more. And here's how much. I'll turn down my plate. I'll deny myself so I can get closer to you. Practically. If you start watching, one of the things we suggest, it's a suggestion. Say suggestion. It's a suggestion that you only take in spiritual things. You listen to sermons. We got sermons online. Heard the preacher's pretty good. You take in, you listen to other messages, other men and women of God that have blessed you, that have, listen, you bathe your spirit in the word. Develop a quiet time, develop a time of study. During the times you would normally spend just sitting watching TV. Watch Christian movies. War Room is a good one. Ain't nobody, they ain't paid me. They need to pay me for that plug. But War Room is a good one. If you're having issues in your marriage, you need to watch Fireproof. Fireproof is a good one. These things, they help build you up on your most holy faith. We make suggestions that you try to cut out all the other outside influences so that you can get closer to him. And I'm going to tell you this and I'm done. When you start making these changes, you're disrupting your current flow. You're disrupting. See, up until this time, they were swirling around me. Just walking a circle. This is the flow. This is the flow. We're living in a flow. Everybody's living in a flow. I don't know what your flow is, but you're living in a flow. This is how things are flowing in your life. When you purpose to discipline yourself through prayer and fasting, you disrupt the flow. This one is going here, and this one is going there. You disrupt the flow. The flow is messed up, and so it's going to seem like it's chaotic. Physically, you're going to get headaches because you're withdrawing. And it's tiring. Let me tell you this. Listen, some of you are going to get some of the best sleep you ever had during times of prayer and fasting. I can't watch my show. I can't eat. I might as well go to sleep. Some of y'all you're going to be the best rested believers this side of the Mississippi. But it disrupts your flow. It disrupts your flow. And you got to be understand that don't get distracted or discouraged because the flow is messed up now. What you're doing is you're setting, it was going this way, and now you're disrupting it. You're saying, I command you to go the other way. Anytime you set out on a spiritual reconnection with God, it's going to be disruptive. But God is faithful. He will hold you in the middle of the restructuring of things in your life. Did y'all get some out of that this morning? Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank you. God, he says, it's time to change the flow. Some of you might be saying, Pastor, I started out okay. I started out with good intentions in 2018, and I found myself what I thought was a good flow, but it turned into a rut. How do I get out of this rut? Pray and fast. Some of you have been on a cycle of self-destruction. You've been on a cycle of tearing up the stuff God gave you. You're wondering, how do I get out of this? Pray and fast. Pastor, that sounds too simple. No, he said, I choose the simple things to confound the wise. You're looking to add, well, if I add this and if I add that. No, God says minimize, 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 minimize. Get back to basics. Job said, I desire your word more than my necessary food. When you say, God, I'm willing to serve you before I eat. I'm willing to seek you before I ever satisfy this flesh. You just disrupted the flow. just disrupted the flow. You just disrupted the flow. Discipline. It's discipline. The heart of the word disciple is a disciplined learner. I'm going to say this and I'm going to stop. Because I'm the pastor of this church. Some of y'all lost the discipline of Bible study. Yeah, you did. Don't look nowhere. Somewhere you let fatigue override the feeding of your faith. Guess what? Everybody else that come to Bible study, they tired too. I know for a fact Crystal rides in to D.C. every day, comes back on a train, and comes right here. Tired. I know she's tired. But she did not let the fatigue rob her of feeding her faith. It takes discipline. Don't mean that she's more spiritual than you. She's just disciplined. She's just disciplined. What you call super spiritual, God calls disciplined. And I know it's in you. I know it's in you. Because some of you will camp out at night on Black Friday. Discipline. I'm going to get this 60-inch screen TV. Discipline. Don't let the lack of discipline keep you from where God's trying to take you. My prayer is that this time of prayer and consecration, this time of fasting and prayer, will be like you never experienced before. That God will begin to show you things you've never seen before. He begin to whisper in your ear things you never heard before. There's revelation that comes when you mute every other voice and you can hear God's voice. Nothing spiritual, nothing super spooky about it. You're just saying, you're just mute, turning down all the other volumes so I can hear him. Ain't everybody standing?